And we're not going to take an extended time tonight, but I do want to get to the Word a little bit. And you know, we don't just have guests to have guests, but we have guests that we believe will be a blessing to the people. Amen? And it's an honor to be able to do that in the body of Christ. Philippians chapter 2. We're going to begin with verse 1. It says, If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, that's compassion, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. How many want to have the same love as Jesus has? All right? He says, verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Vainglory is empty conceit. All right, there's a lot of things that we can do that are empty. Maybe we do it for status. We do it for motives other than to honor the Lord. There's things that we can do in life that are just vain, empty. All right? Let nothing be done. Everybody say nothing. So there's two things you want to avoid. You want to avoid strife, because with strife comes every evil work. And you want to avoid empty things. Okay, but it says, in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Did you know that the same mind that was in Christ Jesus can be in you? What do you suppose the mind of Christ is? I'm just going to do a little pop quiz. Give me your thoughts. Huh? Pure? What else? Peaceful? Loving? Holy? Do you know what came on Jesus when he was baptized in the Jordan River? Holy Spirit. You know that the mind of Christ is the Holy Spirit? Because he said, let this mind be where? In you. Well, what do we have in us? We have the Holy Spirit. And he helps you to be like Christ. Here's what God does. He likes to do a work in you before he'll do a work through you. God, the way God works is from the inside out. Okay? So, you want to let this, say this, I want to let the mind that was in Jesus be in me. Notice, you have the opportunity to let it be or not. That is the question. To be or not to be. To have the mind in you or not. Notice, who lets the mind be in you? You do. So through your choices, through your meditation, through your thoughts, okay? And go down to verse 9. Talking about Jesus. Wherefore God also highly exalted him. Everybody say highly. Okay. And given him a name which is above every name. Is there any name above the name of Jesus? So every other name has to come under the authority of Jesus. Okay. Jesus is the primovera. He is the top number one. He is the supreme. Okay? Verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. When someone confesses Jesus as Lord, it gives glory to God. And every person should. Unfortunately, some people have not. But it's better to confess him as Lord sooner rather than later. Amen? So, we want to know why we should confess him as Lord. Why is it better to confess him as Lord sooner rather than later? Okay? Now, this word, confess, it means to openly proclaim. Everybody say openly. You can openly proclaim without shame his name. All right? We should say the name of Jesus with enthusiasm, with passion, because there is power in that name. You know, just the mention of his name causes demons to tremble. At the mention of his name, you can do what he did. The authority that's attached with his name also includes his power and his miracles and his goodness in his name. All right? So, we need to confess Jesus as Lord. We need to openly proclaim. We need to acclaim. We need to openly declare. Do we have some people that can declare? Give me a shout for Jesus. All right. How'd that feel? You know, we shouldn't be afraid to get excited about Jesus. I mean, who else has got going on what Jesus has got going on? I'm telling you. We need to make known his name and openly and joyfully acknowledge him as Lord. Now, here's the thing. It's really easy to say Jesus is Lord. But it's a lot harder to behave in a way that Jesus is Lord. Oh yeah, we're going to get into some things tonight. It's a lot easier to say Jesus is Lord, but it's not as easy to live it out. Amen? Because after all, when you say Jesus is Lord, you're making a confession. But that confession should be based on what's written on your heart. Go with me to Proverbs 3 for a minute. Proverbs chapter 3. I'm feeling good tonight. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3. Says, let not mercy and truth forsake you. How many has ever forsaken mercy and truth? We want judgment, but we're not to let mercy and truth forsake us. All right? Is there anybody in here that has never made a mistake? Raise your hand. Well, I guess that's all of us. So if we've all made mistakes and we have the capability of making more mistakes, then you know what? We need to make allowances for others. That when they do make mistakes, it's okay. As long as they don't stay making that mistake. All right? Isn't that what Jesus did? Whose mind are we to have? What's the first fruit of the Spirit? Love. If the Holy Spirit is the mind of Christ and he produces 9 fruits, the first of which is love, that's how we're supposed to treat people. You know, if you don't love people, your faith can't work. If you have an attitude against people, then you really have an attitude against God, because we're created in his image and his likeness. All right? But let's get back to calling him Lord. Okay? When you call him Lord, you are recognizing him as the master. Everybody say the master. You're recognizing him as the ruler. Say the ruler. You're recognizing him as sovereign. Say sovereign. You're recognizing him as controller. Say controller. You're recognizing him as owner of all things. Say owner. So when you say Jesus is Lord, there's much more to what's being said than just the words. But it kind of, when you say that Jesus is Lord, you are declaring that you have a covenant with the living God. You are declaring that you're in relationship with the risen Lord. You are, when you declare Jesus is Lord, you can't do it motivated by a devil. You know, it's one of the ways that you can test a spirit. If they confess Jesus as Lord, you know that they're of God. If they can't, then you know where they're from. Okay? So, when you say Jesus is Lord, you're really, see, because with your mouth, you create things. All right? In order for you to have a relationship with the Lord, you would have had to confess him as Lord at some point. You cannot be in a relationship without confessing him as Lord, and you can't confess him as Lord unless he has done something in your heart. Here's what God does. The Holy Spirit, when the word is being preached, he hooks your heart, and he begins to draw you in and draw you in, all right? It's kind of like being on a creek bed, and that creek bed gets wet. Eventually, you're going to slip in, right? So if you can get people where the word is being preached, you know, and keep them coming, eventually they're going to slip in, all right? We'll take the ones that slip in, amen? I remember one time when YWAM was building their university in Hawaii, they had used all their resources in building material, and they had no money to buy food. And there was, I don't know, several people working, putting these buildings together. So you know what they did? They began to pray. And you know what happened? This is an amazing thing. I read it. I forget which book Lauren Cunningham wrote about it, but he told this story. Fish started jumping from the water to the shore. And there was like 180 fish that literally jumped out of the water onto the shore. And that was enough food to last them until they got some more supplies, until some more money came in and they were able to buy food. But I'm telling you, you might run into some fish that just want to jump in the boat. Amen? But I want to dig into when we call him Lord. Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. I want you to understand that there is meaning behind those words. You know, and when you say Jesus is Lord and you act in a way contrary to him being Lord, what does that make your words? What kind of value do your words have if there's no action behind it? Empty? And we're supposed to avoid empty things, aren't we? So, part of confessing Jesus as Lord is mean you're taking on a responsibility to allow him to work in you and you to live. When you confess Jesus as Lord, your will, you have given up your will. Doesn't mean you don't have it anymore, but you make a conscious choice to say, not my will, but his be done. When you confess Jesus as Lord, that means you make yourself available to do whatever the master says, to go wherever the master says go, to be whatever the master says. Because guess what? When you confess Jesus as Lord, you're not. Listen, you can't be two lords. There's one Lord. It's either Jesus or it's you. Which one's it going to be? You make the choice. 2 Peter chapter 1, and let's start with verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. What was he a servant and an apostle by? Did he want to be an apostle? Do you think when before Peter knew Jesus, do you think he wanted to be an apostle? What was Peter? He was doing pretty good too. He had servants. He had a partnership. You know, and in that partnership, they had more than one boat. But I want you to notice, because of his relationship with Jesus Christ, he became something that the master wanted him to be, because he confessed him as Lord. See, when you confess Jesus as Lord, be prepared to let your actions back up what you say. Okay? And to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. How is grace and peace going to multiply to you? According to verse 2. According to what? How is grace and peace going to multiply to you? Through knowledge. So guess what? You got to gain some knowledge of God. Amen? The more knowledge of God you gain, the more grace and peace is going to multiply. I don't know. I like multiplication better than addition. How about you? All right? Verse 3. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these, what's he talking about by these? I want to make sure that you understand what we're talking about. When he says by these, what is he referring to? According to that verse. Amen. Give Jeffrey an A+. Glory to God. I want you to notice that God has made a way for us to back up our statement that Jesus is Lord by putting his word into practice. It's through the knowledge of these great and precious promises that we might be partakers of what? Divine nature. That sounds like a pretty good nature. Does a divine nature hate? Does the divine nature not forgive? Does the divine nature murmur and gossip? Ah. So we're partakers of the divine nature. As we come to know his promises, we become a partaker, a sharer, a joint heir in his divine nature, his power, his ability, his grace. Okay? Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And he tells us how we can enhance our ability to have the divine nature by adding things to our faith, such as virtue, such as temperance. All right? Basically, if you add the fruit of the Spirit to your faith, woo, you're going to come out smelling good. Amen? So when we call him Lord, you are identifying and declaring that you also share in his nature. That means when you have a bad day, how do you respond? Out of your nature or the divine nature? How does the divine nature respond? When people wanted to kill Jesus, how did he respond? Okay? Did Jesus, when they were going to kill Jesus before it was time, did he say, Peter, James, and John, we got to have a meeting. They're trying to kill me. Oh my gosh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? See, the divine nature does not make room or allowance for any fear whatsoever. When you call him Lord, you are identifying with genes that have no fear in them. See, when we call him Lord, There's no fear. Perfect love, what does a perfect love do when it comes in when fear is there? It casts out fear. Who's perfect love? Jesus is perfect love. He is love. And guess what? We can be partakers of his divine nature. We can share, we can have that same mind, that thought, that walked and thought in love. That same mind can be in us. So when we call him Lord, let's think about how we behave. If we're calling him Lord and our behavior does not represent the Lord, then we either have to change our behavior or change our confession. Ooh. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. You know what God's divine nature gives us the ability to do with grace? Change. We don't have the ability within ourselves to change. But with God, we have his divine ability working in us. We have his mind guiding and directing us. And he gives us the ability to change. Paul went from being a murderer to a preacher. Abraham went from being fatherless to a father of nations. Nations came out of Abraham and Sarah. Nations. Jacob went from a trickster and a supplanter to a prince. See, God's nature gives us the ability to change. But if we want to change, see, the way to operate the divine nature, the way to operate in the Lordship, when you call Jesus Lord, the way to operate in that is to renew your mind. Romans 12, be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you might prove. What is that good? The only way that you can prove God's will is real is by changing your mind, because when you change your mind, that gives you the ability to carry out God's will, God's way, God's method of doing things. Okay? Ephesians chapter 4. There I go again, talking and not turning, I'll tell you. And verse 13. It says, well, let's go back to verse 11. Okay, talking about Jesus, he gave some. What did he give some? Gifts. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Some of you here today might be one of these, all right? Is that the only gifts that God gives? He might give you the ability to be a mother. You know, that's a gift. So, no gift is above another gift. It just simply has different functions. Okay? He gave these gifts to the church, which is his body. Okay? Verse 14, this is why he gave us these things. That we henceforth be what? Huh? No more children. I don't want to grow up. People who are young want to grow up, and people who are grown up want to become younger. Children are tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, the cunning craftiness. Who operates in cunning craftiness? Satan, he's a deceiver. He's the father of lies, right? So when we're not growing in God, when we're not growing in the knowledge of God, when we're not growing in the knowledge of Jesus as Lord, we're like children being tossed to and fro, taking this in, taking that in, and not really fully developing. Go down to verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of your mind. After all, you're supposed to have the mind of Christ, right? So if we have a different mind, we ought to have a different walk. If we have a different mind, we ought to have a different talk, right? If there's a different mind, then a different behavior ought to result from having a different mind. There's things that we should do and things that we shouldn't do. And when we call Jesus Lord, we are openly declaring that we have a relationship with Him. And if we have a relationship with Him, then we've got to follow Him. We've got to do what He did. We've got to say what He said. We've got to live how He lived. Why did Jesus come and live a perfect life on earth? To say that He did it, or to show us how to do it? Isn't God gracious how He came down as a man? He put on flesh and blood to show us how to do it? He showed us how to have victory here on earth before we go into heaven. He doesn't want you to live a defeated life, a broke life, everything's a mess life. He wants you to live a victorious life. He wants you to be a champion just like He was a champion. I mean, we've got the Spirit of God. We've got the Word of God. We've got the name of Jesus. We've got angels. We've got the blood of Jesus. What more do we need to be what God wants us to be victoriously? Huh? The thing of it is, you've got to acknowledge God's right to your life in service. When you say He is Lord, you are a candidate for Him to lead you where He wants you to go. What if you don't agree? Well, take it up with Him. Young people, you might as well start now doing what God wants you to do now. There's lots of young people in the Bible that lived godly, successful lives. God did great things with them. So I want to encourage you. My journey with God started when I was 12. When you say He's Lord, you're giving Him the right. Now, God's not a dictator, all right? But He will tell you what He wants, and then it's up to you to choose. Do you want to choose what He wants? Or do you want to choose? He still gives you the choice. But with every choice, there are consequences and rewards already woven in. They're already set up. And you can't blame anybody at the end of your life. If you didn't do what you were supposed to do on earth, no one gets to blame but you. It's not anybody else's fault because no one else is your Lord. No one else, you know, I don't go around saying, Doug is Lord. Why? Because I'm not. Jesus is Lord. You know? I've been given a lot of suggestions from people with a different mindset about what should be done in this church. But I'm committed to do what God wants to do. And I'm not going to change from doing what God wants to do. I'm open for God to change me. All right? But we're following God. And we're going to do what God wants us to do because God put me here with a mandate that He is Lord. And because He is Lord, And I openly confess that I am committed now to live my life along those lines. Jesus is Lord. That means I got to get over things that bother me, that bother my feelings. My feelings are not the Lord. Some people, they live their life based on their feelings, how they feel, what it makes them feel like. You know, everything's feel, feel, feel. Feelings are great, but feelings are not our Lord. Jesus is. And he's given us his word. Okay? When your feelings contradict what the Bible says, what you going to go with? That's where the rubber meets the road. Right? Go with me to Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. God appeared to Moses, right? What was Moses doing when God appeared to him? Come on, talk to me. Shepherding. He was shepherding, all right? And what was he before he was a shepherd? Prince. So he went from being a prince to being a shepherd. He married a priest's daughter, the priest of Midian, right? Jethro. And he's out minding his own business. And go down to verse 10. Moses said unto the Lord. Now, I want you to get this picture. The Lord had just spoken to Moses. And he said, I've heard the cry of my people in Egypt. I want you to go into Egypt. I want you to deliver my people. Okay? Now, Moses is speaking back unto the Lord. Verse 10, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent. Did the Lord ask him if he was eloquent? No. That wasn't even a conversation that the Lord was having with him. But how did eloquence come up in his mind? Don't you think that the Lord knows how Moses can speak? He created him anyway. He knows his thoughts. He knows how many hairs are on his. I don't even know how many hairs I have, but the Lord does. So the Lord said, I want you to deliver me. Now Moses is giving reasons why he can't do what the Lord said. Don't we do that a lot? We do that a lot. There's a lot of people in the body of Christ that do that a lot. We give reasons why we can't do what the Lord said. Well, okay. I'm not an eloquent man. I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. Did the Lord ask him how fast his tongue was? No, his tongue wasn't even in a race. The speed of his tongue had nothing to do with what the Lord wanted him to do. But what was Moses thinking? I can't speak. My tongue's too slow. He's thinking of all of his natural things. The Lord is supernatural. Verse 11, Lord said to him, who made man's mouth? Who makes the dumb or the deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth. Verse, and teach you what you should say. God promised to be with his mouth and to teach him what he should say. But yet Moses was not confident in the Lord. Therefore he couldn't do what the Lord told him to do. Verse 13, he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him who you will send. Send some other person. Has God ever told you to do something and you say, can't someone else do that? unless it's going to Hawaii. I'll go to Hawaii, Lord. Will you go to the inner city? No. I'll go to Hawaii. Will you go to the inner city? No. Listen. Who's Lord? Say this. Say, Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
I'm not. You know, if we spent as much time trying to find out reasons why we can do something versus why we can't, it would work a lot better for us. Okay? Verse 14. The Lord was really happy with Moses, and he said, "That's okay, Moses." No. Well, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. Why? Because Moses kept giving excuses of why he couldn't do what the Lord said. How do you think he feels when we say we can't do what he says? By his stripes, you are what? Then why is sickness and even in your conversation? Selah. Stop and pause and think about it. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, "Is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, come forth to meet you, and when he sees you, he'll be glad." Moses was about to pass the buck. He was about to limit what he could do for God because he wanted someone else to do it when God was telling him to do it. He'll be your spokesman. All right. And finally, Moses got it. And verse 18 says, Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said unto him, "Let me go, I pray you, and return unto my brethren which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive." And Jethro said to Moses, "Go in peace." So finally, there had to be this long conversation between him and God as to why he was resistant to what the Lord was saying. Listen, don't resist. When the Lord leads you in an area of your life to change, change. He'll give you the power to do so, and let him work in you, and it'll be good. Amen? Why? Because he's Lord. You're going to call him Lord sooner or later, but when if you do call him Lord, and I know that you have, then guess what? It requires your life to come under submission to the Lord. It requires your thoughts to come in line with God's thoughts. It requires your speech to come in line with the Lord's speech. See, now the Lord wants you to be to imitate the Lord to others so that the Lord can win others to him. But he wants to use you as an in-between, as a go-between, as someone in the middle. He wants to use you because you're a person, you are his hands, you're his feet, you're his mouthpiece. If he wanted to send the angels to preach the gospel, he could, but he wants people to preach the gospel. Let's just do what the Lord says to do. And you can tell that a person really means what they say when they do what they say. That woman with the issue of blood, she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I shall be made whole." How can we believe that what she said is true? She actually went and touched him. Her actions were in complete agreement with what she said. When our actions and our words come into agreement under the banner that he is Lord, what's going to happen? Miracle working power is going to be released. It's when we disagree with either our mouth or our heart with what the Lord has said, that's when we encounter problems. Is that true? Let's find more reasons why we can than why we can't. Let's be can-doers versus can't-doers. Amen? Why? Because you have the same mind that was in the Lord. Wish we had more time. Heavenly Father, let's just wait on the Lord for just a minute. That instrumental song that we were playing in the beginning, why don't you go ahead and play that? Here's what I want you to do. While this song is playing, let's everybody stand up. All right? I'm not going to have you come up. I'm not going to pray, lay my hands on you. But I want you to do this. I want you to make a commitment in your heart. If there's an area in your life that you're resistant to what the Lord wants you to do, what He wants you to have, where He wants you to go, I want you to become unresistant. I want you to soften your heart. I want you just to receive Him as Lord over that area of your life. Maybe it's financial. Maybe you need the Lord to be Lord of your finances. Maybe it's relationships. Maybe you have the most messed up relationships with people. Well, who's a better people person than the Lord? Amen? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to surrender every area in your life, and you know the areas that are resistant to what the Lord wants done in those areas. And I want you to turn those areas over to Him. I want you to confess Him as Lord of those areas, and let's turn this around. Amen? Let's become compliant in our hearts. Let's conform to His image, not our image. And maybe you got to change your image. That's the problem. So Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come before You and we surrender all. I want you to just to lift your hands up in an act of surrendering to God. You lift your hands up. Just think of the Holy Ghost coming and say, everybody put your hands up. I want you to surrender. Lord, we surrender. Say this, say, Lord, I surrender every area of my heart that has been resistant to Your word, that has been resistant to Your will, that have come against You. Jesus, I say You're Lord over that area. And I want You just to name that area in your heart. Deal with it right now, that You're not going to let self run that area. You're not going to let the world run that area. You're not going to let the devil run that area. But You're going to let the Lord Jesus run that area. Oh yeah, I see a cleansing coming. Oh, thank You, Lord, for purifying them with fire. Lord, give them vision. Give them wisdom in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, we just thank You for the power of the Holy Spirit. Breathe on them, Holy Ghost. Breathe on them right now in Jesus' name. Breathe on them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And just make a commitment in your heart that you're going to do what God says when He says it. You're going to go where He says go. You're going to be led by the Spirit. If the Spirit says for you to give something, you're going to give it. If the Spirit says to say something, you're going to say it. If the Spirit says to express yourself in this way, you're going to express it in the name of Jesus. Nothing is held back from the Lord. You're going to give Him full control. You're going to recognize Him as the master of your life, the ruler of your life, the controller of your life, the supreme leader of your life. And then you got to have behavior. You got to, by faith, you got to act on this. If you're a stingy person, then you need to practice giving. Because stinginess is not godly. If you're a bitter person, you need to practice being forgiving. You need to forgive others. And it may take a little bit of time to change, but you know what? Your flesh will follow what your mind tells it to do. You have the ability to change. In Jesus' name. And I believe that God's going to show you. Because you just might need to make some tiny adjustments to get great results. All it takes to get big results is little adjustments. Amen? And if God's got to shake the nut trees so the nuts fall off the tree, so be it. Let him shake the tree. Say, shake it, Lord. But I just want you to think about when you use the words, Jesus is Lord, I want you to think about what that really means. And don't be afraid to live up to your confession. Step out in faith. Amen? God honors faith. So, Father, we thank you for your word tonight. And, Lord, we just give you thanks and praise that you have empowered us to prosper. And by prospering, Father, we honor you with the first fruits of all of our increase. Any increase that comes into our hands, Father, we give you the first of it. We give you the tithe. We give you the offering. And we honor you with our substance, that our vats will be overflow with new wine. Our barns will be filled with plenty. And you will be honored and glorified in the name of Jesus. So if you can give and you want to give, you can give into the offering. Put it in our seed planter. And God will do the rest. Amen. God bless you. I hope you were getting the heart of God. Amen. Have a great night.